All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to compete at Rumble in the Cage 64, and that goes down February the 18th. A very intriguing middleweight matchup as Zach Many Wounds and Colton Boxall get out there and test skills, and happy to be talking to Colton today. How's everything going, man? How's the day progressing there?
Hey, it's progressing pretty well here. It's Sunday. I'll probably hit the gym in a few to do some light work, but the hard and heavy lifting is done for now. So this is preparing for Saturday coming up in a week. It's actually not Zachary Many Wounds that I'm fighting. He had to pull out of the contest. I'm fighting a Josh Kitchen, who is a returning legend, basically. And I've fought types like him before. Back in Ontario, when I fought Joel Paquette, he was kind of a similar archetype or role for the MMA community. So this is my chance to have like a repeat of that. And I'm fairly well set. I'm looking forward to it. He's got, there's not a lot of footage on him because Rumble lost their archives. And that was, a few of the fights that he had, I would have been able to watch, but I did catch one. Everybody's telling me he's a grappler. He hasn't fought in 8 years. He runs his own dojo now. He runs his own school. He hasn't fought in 8 years. His last fight was actually 3 years ago in a boxing match that he lost by TKO. And the footage that I see from 10 years ago, it's like, okay, me 10 years ago wouldn't have stacked up well against him 10 years ago. I've had a lot of growth. He's had a lot of growth in the direction of trainer. It's at 185. I think it's a good weight class for me. It's a great weight class for me. It's where I fought some of my amateur career at. I feel like I'm going to be more alive. I feel like I don't have to like burn that energy and try to replenish it. I'll just be able to live like a normal kind of thing where I am all the time. And so what you see on the box, what you get in the label, I'll go in and I'll fight like I do any given day. And that's dangerous for him. That's dangerous for anybody. Anybody at middleweight better be ready. But Josh Kitchen, Saturday.
That's interesting. When did that opponent switch happen? Like, were there certain, like, distinct adaptations you had to make? Or is it just kind of like the same, I guess, like, linear approach in a sense? Like, you would kind of approach, this fight as you would have the previous matchup with Many Wounds that fell apart.
Yeah, so there's a few mix-ups that have to come in. This is actually the third opponent because there was another fight that was supposed to happen about a month ago, and then it was Zach for a couple weeks, and then it was just 2 weeks ago that this change happened. So honestly, like, not a whole lot of adaptation. Like, my understanding of my opponent creeps in my training in parts just so I can understand their timing and adapt my rhythm as needed. Obviously keeping the winning cycle on my side. So Zach, strong kicking game. Whereas we understand Josh is going to be looking to come in and strike. I anticipate him throwing about 3 strikes before shooting for a takedown, just because I think that's what he'll do. I think his first strike's going to be a kick, and then he will throw 3 punches and shoot for a takedown. Which is where, I can stuff that. I can stop that from ever happening at all by using my footwork and staying out of position with him. But that hasn't changed the way that I would train. I would keep training with, like, a sharp eye, keeping my fist fast, just being fast with everything, making sure that I'm not overextending or reaching from my position, from my base of support, and just looking to change the momentum into my favor.
That's pretty interesting because, like, as you were talking about a bit before, it's like, trying to look up older fights on this guy, a little difficult with the tape, but also in the sense of, like, okay, well, that was a decade ago. I've grown in the last 10 years. Presumably he has, but at the same time, you were saying that you can see him, shooting for the takedown relatively quickly and initiating the grappling. Is that something you've seen from him more on, like, a stylistic proclivity kind of level, or maybe you're making that inference, like, with the layoff and maybe he'll just kind of like, you know, revert to like more of a wrestling based strategy because of the hiatus.
Yeah. Well, certainly the fear can make somebody drop themselves into the grappling scenario. I think like grappling is a little bit more fearful for avoiding the heavy damage of a strike or a strong blow. But Josh is a new black belt under Luke Harris, and the footage that I saw was similar to that. But everybody ever I've spoken to has previously trained with him. They've also said very strong or very grappling oriented, very strong guy. So that'll be my plan to avoid his grappling effect where he's effective in the grappling. I'll look to make him like exert himself there, try to take me to the floor, try to win in a grappling exchange, but then I'll disengage and stand up just so he make him waste his energy. Make him be ineffective with his energy because I will have better cardio, I will be more in shape, and I'll be more ready to take it into the later rounds.
And you've always struck me as a guy that's like been very, you know, studious about the game, very aware of the landscape. I mean, the way you're talking about this guy, like, I mean, you even referred to him as like a legendary figure before. Like, was this someone that you were, you know, acutely aware of for a while? Like, were you like watching a fair bit of his like past fights and everything like that? Because he does have some good wins over like Sheldon Dahl and Mike Scarcello for sure. So was he a guy you've been watching for a little bit over the years, some of his prior efforts?
Like there might have been a crossing. There might have been at some point because I've certainly attended Rumbles in the past when I was an amateur. But I don't think so. Nothing stood out to me on those events because there was a few Rumble. I think he fought on Rumble 50. If he fought on Rumble 50, that was when I made my debut. I mean, let me go look that guy up. This guy, Josh the Soup Kitchen MMA.
Yeah, it looks like his last MMA fight was Rumble 49 there.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have fought on Rumble 49. I wouldn't have known him from then. He had that loss, and then he won a few older Rumbles. He fought on 3 Rumbles to start his career. And yeah, so I knew Pete Neufeld. I know Sheldon Dahl. I didn't know Tyler Sulak. Mike Hill. I've, like, known Mike Hill tangentially, but... Yeah, so I haven't actually crossed paths with him before. A lot of people in the gym have, but me personally, I haven't.
Yeah, and just kind of talking to the, I guess, like, machinations of the matchup, because we were talking before about how there's the interpretation of, like, him kind of going towards, like, a grappling kind of sequence, but in, you know, talking before past fights, it seems like that would very much kind of, you know, fit right into your wheelhouse and everything like that. Would that almost be, like, indulging your game plan to a certain degree and as far as it would facilitate you being able to, you know, show your grappling acumen and everything?
Yeah, well, I'm ready anywhere. I just need to be effective with my energy, which comes down to the tactics. My strategy's been good. My preparation's been on point. There's been nothing getting in the way of this camp. I've been deadly. I've been sharp. I've been fast, and I've been powerful. So for him to come in and try to alter any part of that, you know, it's 2 fights. We'll see what collides. I'm sure he's got something similar happening. If the way you're talking that one out there, then it was. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes once we're in there. My work's done. My time is heavy. I've been training constant. I've been on point. I've been just working relentlessly. And he better be ready for a pace like that. You know, if I can get in there and have it turn into like a stellar performance, something that's like a classic, something that makes a crowd roar, that's what I want more than anything else, is to hear that crowd roar. And they love the TKOs. They love effective hand combat. So my striking's in a new place. My striking's better than it's ever been. My understanding of the patterns and the footwork and the timing and the speed behind it, I'm in a new level and where I've never been before. And that means I better just get busy getting on, you know?
Yeah, and obviously your own individual, you know, vigor in pursuing learning the technique is like the biggest part of it. But as far as, I guess, who is like imparting the technique and refining the tools, like who would you say has really helped you level up in that striking part of your game?
Yeah, obviously both means. Jordan and Lee. Yeah, Jordan a lot has helped me in that, just by being that like constant presence. Calling me on my bullet, calling me on where I'm rushing, where keeping me strict to the tempo. That's Jordan. Sheldon and guys around the gym have helped me. Jamie Ingram has been holding pads, which is great. But there's that one pole. Just me and that pole hitting stuff in the gym. That doesn't get old. Just I love hitting stuff.
Yeah, no, so many great people there and everything like that. And I've talked to some other guys about this, like in the Lethbridge area. Seems like such a great place in the country to be able to train. And I know you get in a lot of work at CMC, but I also know certain guys to like cross train a bit between there and Progressive Fighting Academy. Have you also in past or maybe even in this camp gotten in work at PFA?
Yeah, I did get a few rounds in at PFA. They were fairly well. They weren't, I didn't get surprised by anything. I got to go wrestle with Tom O'Connor. Like Cody and I have like it's a little bit complicated because like he whoops my ass on the feet. That guy, I'm never gonna beat that guy in a kickboxing match, but he doesn't know any ground stuff, which is where I'm fairly good. So it's like if I took him to the ground, it would be over, right? So he and I both recognize that he's got a good set of sweeps, so he can take it to the ground. But he anticipates me standing up, right? That's his rule set. And since he is the golden child, like. He's the golden goose right now. He's on the way to one. He's going to win tournaments in Japan. He's going to be like a great fighter. I can't be coming in and being the 1-4 pro saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to take you down and show you who's boss, right? It's like, that's not how it works. I need to be respectful in the way that I understand. I'm coming in to do kickboxing work. If I get my ass whooped too bad, I'm going to have to defend myself, and that's going to be a takedown. But for the most part, we just get the work in. Tom and I like wrestling around in there. It's fun wrestling with Tom. I did get a bunch of work in with Tom. And it goes like pretty well because he's that creative student of the sports kind of mind too. So it's a similar kind of mindset, similar clash of egos. He was teaching me some stuff on the Kelly sticks earlier. We're talking about being Ninja Turtles because Lee's got the bow staff at his place, so I'll go Donatello. He can be Michelangelo. We're just looking for a Leonardo and a Raphael because we don't have the Ninja Sword of the size yet. But other than that, we'll start a whole Ninja Turtle thing.
I feel like you have a few strong contenders in the area, though, for the remaining Ninja Turtles roles.
For sure. We'll start with two. We'll grow from there.
Yeah, you got it.
Fight him to like have that like matching of wills of wills or whatever. I don't know. There's O2. O2's maybe got somebody. Like I was over there like a little bit. They taught me like a one extension. They gave me a word to get to name an armbar. Telephone armbar. So it's like great. Yeah, I'll use that one. It's the Udegatame armbar style. So it's like sometimes you just need the word to make the mind crystal clear. And that can always be helpful. One lesson, and that's what you can take from it, is a pretty big boon. So I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe drop kicking the sucker right across the ring.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have, like, a great, like, reservoir of energy. Not that you didn't in previous fights, but, like, we were talking about how this one's going to be at middleweight as opposed to welterweight, and there's, like, that deeper, I guess, like, sense of energy and, I mean, not being depleted and having to be so focused on that part of it. Like, how has this camp differed other than that, just in terms of, like, the switching of the divisions? Like, I would imagine the, I guess, dietary considerations and, like, the strength and conditioning regime might be tinkered a little bit, but perhaps I'm wrong in that thought.
No, I think it's just winter. I think it's just winter and it's, like, healthy to cycle between weight classes, because in summer I'll go back down to 170, and then winter I might fight at 185 again. And it's just fighting, it's just performing, right? So, working my way into a championship status. People say you stay to one all the time, and it's like, yeah, but you'll become the strongest athlete by living a good life. Staying diligent in your, like, I wasn't not. Right, I was very, very dedicated to with my diet. I was very dedicated with my discipline. other hand, the winters in Canada mean you sweat less. It's colder out. You're not going to be you'll carry more weight just naturally. So going to 185, beneficial. I think I get pretty low in the summers. I get around like 180, 181, whereas I'll go back up to like 192 in the winter. And I don't want to cut that 20 pounds. When I fought Jeff Grand, I did cut 20 pounds. I cut like 12 or 14. And I did notice one moment in the third where I didn't have that energy. But when I was at 185, every other time that I made 170, I had energy, especially going into the later rounds. At 185, I anticipate even more because I've been happy. I've been happy with my training. I've been like very, very happy. Every day is great. Every day training is amazing. I get to go in, I get to feel alive. I get to feel like blood coursing through my veins, and it's just like ready to become like I'm going to war. I'm a warrior, and I feel right for that. Fight day is like, that's a toss up. I'm going to have that energy that I've always brought in. We're going to clash with an energy that guy's always brought in. So it's a toss up. There's chance that happens when you're locked in the cage with somebody. And that's the physicist in me wants to call it an entropy, but he doesn't know how to write it. So we just play it out. We just play it out with whatever it is.
Yeah, for sure. I just love the, mindset and the way you kind of break down the game and stuff like that. But I guess it kind of speaks to your mentality and pursuit of like a lot of different things. Like even before the call, we were talking about like the AI imaging and it becoming more sophisticated, and you're learning like trumpet now and stuff like that. So it really seems like you have like a natural curiosity for things and that sort of like, I guess, voracious appetite to like pursue these different sort of things.
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt, Jim. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. How's things on your end?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm doing well, man. I'm working on a couple projects that I'm, happy about and stuff like that, and kind of just doing the usual stuff, just, interviewing fighters and writing features and stuff like that. But no, everything's in a good place with the, personal life too and stuff like that. So yeah, no, can't complain, man. Things are going well.
That's good. I was hearing a little bit from you. You started in Grand Prairie that you started in?
I did like my first like broadcast kind of thing in Grand Prairie. I did one of the XFFC shows like March 2015. I called like that Michael Hill versus Bristol Marunde card. And yeah, that was like the first kind of like broadcast related like MMA sort of thing that I got into.
Yeah. Okay. And what was that one called? What did you do with that?
I believe that was XFFC6 off the top of my head. And I was doing like play-by-play commentary as well as like the in-cage introductions for the fighters and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a blast.
That sounds awesome. And then I also heard you met Jim Pattison himself.
Oh no, I actually didn't. I did not get to meet Jim Pattison. He's definitely a big broadcasting, figure out in Grand Prairie, though. I definitely know who that is, but never had the pleasure.
But you never met him?
I did not, no.
That would be like an interesting guy to meet, wouldn't it? Jim Pattison? He's like, I've never met him on radio voice? No way, the voice of the radio. We brought radio all the way across Canada.
Oh yeah, no, like definitely would be
coming up. Working on Connect Care. Health system is advancing. That's not exactly James Pattison, but or Jim Pattison. He's like one of the richest men in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a guy I would like to meet, certainly, but never had the opportunity yet, but would like to do it in the future if it presents itself.
Yeah, maybe an interview or two and we can get him?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, I think we pretty much covered it, man. We're just excited for, this fight coming up here and everything like that. And yeah, no, I mean, unless there's anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up, I think we covered it.
No, it's just I'm ready to fight. Sunday, I've got 6 more days until I fight. And that's, we're going to put it all on the line. I'm all out, so let's go all in. Yeah, if you know anybody looking to buy some tools, I got some tools to sell. That's about that. But yeah, so thanks, Dylan.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on, man. Always fun getting to talk to you in this Josh Kitchen fight, a very interesting one. And yeah, no, thanks for coming on and giving insights ahead of this next Rumble in the Cage card. And looking forward to checking out the event and everything. But, you know, until then, you just have a good rest of your day, man.
Great, you as well.